Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Kif Tes Vav. Rabbi Cohen says, Kuf Tes Vav, in the middle of the Amid, we're holding at the Mishnah. And this Mishnah now is going to introduce to us all the Darkei HaYerusha, exactly how it works, and we're going to have extensive discussion in the Gemara as to all of the details. But basically what the Gemara, what the Mishnah is going to tell us is that when it comes to Hilchos Yerusha, whoever the Torah authorizes and allows for Yerusha, it's not only for that person, but that person's generations, his or her children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc. As the Mishnah says, Seder Nachlis Kachu. This is the Seder, the order of the Nachlis. Ish ki yomu sevein ein loy, vavartu es nachlos levito. That's what it says in the Pasuk. So, clearly, on the surface, what it tells us is, if there's a son, only the son gets the Yerusha and not the daughter. Even if there's one son and 12 girls, only the son gets the Yerusha. What happens if that son were to die, chas v'sholem, then his children will get the Yerusha and not the girls. Ben koidim lebas, it's not only that the son comes first, but kol yoytzi reichoy shel ben koidim lebas. All of his generations go first before the bas. Yaakov dies, and he leaves over, instead of 12 shvatim, 12 boys, he leaves over 12 girls with one son. The mirror image of what it says in the Torah. The Torah, of course, talks about 12 boys and one girl. Here we're going to talk about 12 girls and one boy. And what happens is that boy is entitled to get the Yerusha. Unfortunately, the boy passed away. And there are only 12 girls left. So everybody would say, okay, so then the 12 girls get it. That is true as long as the boy did not leave over any children. If that boy had gotten married and he had a child, or two, or three, regardless of what the gender of that child is, even if the child's son, even if the child was a girl and not a boy, that child gets before all of his aunts. Again, we have a situation of Yaakov. Yaakov had 12 girls and one boy. That one boy, let's call him Reuven for a matter of convenience. And guess what happened? Reuven got married and he had also 12 girls, or just one girl. Now Reuven passes away. Reuven obviously is not going to receive Yerusha. He's already in the Olam HaEmes. But his daughter is going to get Yerusha, and none of Reuven's 12 sisters will get Yerusha. Zero. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us, is that not only Ben Koyim Labaz, Kol Yoytzi Yerecha Shul Ben, all of the Yoytzi Yerecha, that means not only his kids, but even his Einik Lach, will get Koyim Labaz, will get before the daughter. We don't even get to the daughter until we've gone through the son and all of his doyres. And the same thing applies Bas Kedemes La'achin. We're not being prejudicial over here. What happens in a situation where there are no boys? There are girls. And the girls, Baruch Hashem, go and get Yerusha. Who's the next in line after the girls? Now, Mishnah doesn't refer to the father. That's in terms of the Nachla. We're going to see at the end of the Mishnah, the father cuts the line, so to speak, and he goes in after the daughters. But put the father aside. The father's no longer around. Now we have a situation of only girls, and we have a situation where there are uncles, in other words, brothers of the Nifter. In our case, getting back to our case of Yaakov. Yaakov had girls. Let's assume there is no Reuven, or Reuven passed away without any children. No Reuven. There are only girls over here. And we have now Yaakov. Yaakov passes away, and then of course the girls get the Yerusha. What happens if there are no girls, and Yaakov's father Yitzchak is no longer around? So who gets now? Yaakov's brothers go and get. That would be Esav. Oh, what happens in a situation? Yaakov dies, and all of his girls have died. He has no girls left. However, one of the girls, Baruch Hashem, had her own daughter, Yaakov's granddaughter. And now we have a situation that Yaakov dies. Who gets? So, are there any boys? No, there are no sons. Are there any girls? There were girls, but they all died. Are there any children of the girls? Yes, there is a child. Oh, Baruch Hashem, there's a child. Is that a girl or a boy? A girl. Yaakov's granddaughter. Yaakov also left over brother Esav. Who gets under these circumstances? Zokt in Zre Mishnah, Bas Koidemis La'achin, the daughter of Yaakov is going to get the Yerusha, and Yoytzi Reicha Shel Bas Koidem La'achim. Not only the daughter, but any of her daughters, or granddaughters, or great-granddaughters, or great-grandsons. All the Yoytzi Yerech go before the brothers, go before Esav. So therefore, in our situation, where Yaakov left over a granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, or whatever, or a great-grandson, that would go prior to the Achim, prior to Esav. Similarly, Achim koitim la'achi Yoav. The brothers, we know it says in the Torah of Fadish, that the brothers, chas v'sholom, of someone who passed away, they get the Yerusha. What happens? The im ein Achim li'achiv, if there are no Achim, then the satav is nachlos, say la'achi Yoav, then you have to go and give the nachla to the achi Yoav. Achiyov means the uncles. Again, the Achin, Koidim the Achiyav, and Yoytzi Reichen Shel Achin, the children of those brothers, are Koidim and the Achiyav. They're going to get before the uncles will get. Zehaklav, Kola, Koidim and Achla. Whoever comes first in Yerusha, Yoytzi Reichen Koidim. That right remains with that individual and goes to his children and grandchildren, great grandchildren, and they continue to remain first in line before the next one in line until, of course, there are no Yotzi Yerech, and then you have to continue on to the next one.
Question.
Does this mean that a Bechor, for instance, in a regular,
we're not talking about Bechor, we're just talking about regular kids.
Yotzi Yerech, it feels like this Nachla, this request, is sort of locked in. So let's say you had three sons,
yeah,
and they're all nifter,
mm-hmm,
and then the father of these three sons died. So and you had a bechor and two pashuls, two children. So you have a 50, a 25, and 25% chelek. Each one of these three men had one son. Would their proportion chalakim be transmitted intact to their descendants?
You're asking whether the din of bechor also applies. That's essentially what you're saying. You asked the question, Bechor, and then you said, let's go through the case.
I don't believe Bechor is a Bechor issue, or if it's just a...
Let's take out Bechor from the equation. That's going to be a Mishnah. The Mishnah tomorrow, we're going to talk about Slavchad, okay, and Chayfer, etc. But in terms of your question, assuming you had three Pshutim, and there was no Bechor, why wouldn't there have been a Bechor? Because there was a daughter. Why, what happened?
A girl was born first,
and she's Baruch Hashem alive and kicking, she has children, Einiklach, and Ir Einiklach, but Lamaisa, she doesn't get Yerusha because there are three boys. The three boys passed away, each one of them left over children, those children get the chelik of their father. Good. Yes, Rabbi Kohn.
I had an experience when I was about to get Hashgach on the slaughterhouse, and I decided to ask my father permission. I walked over to him where he was staying, and I asked him, what do you think? He looked at me and said, what, are you crazy? Let's be some sugar. I said, why? He says, Asfanan al-Mono.
Right.
How does the Almona have access if their son's around, that she should be, but he should say the Almona inherits?
That's a very good question. One would have to think it through.
If the sons, don't they come before the Almona?
An Almona does not take Yerusha from her husband. Only a husband yashins his wife. A wife does not yashin her husband. We had that in the first mission, our parak.
I can't understand.
I also can't understand. So we finish off the Mishnah. A father always gets before his own children, and before his own grandchildren, and before his own great-grandchildren. All of that is correct, but there's an exception to the rule, and that is the nifter's children or grandchildren. In other words, let's assume, talk about the case in the Torah, you have Yaakov Avinu, and you have Reuven, and all of his brothers. And then Reuven passes away. And let's assume that Reuven has a couple of kids. Chanoich, Faloin, Chetzer, Falu, Chetzer, Vecharmi. Good, he has a bunch of kids. And now Reuven's brothers all passed away. Now the question is, who gets in this Yerusha? Or Reuven's brothers, Baruch Hashem, are alive. But Reuven passed away. Who gets in the picture? So of course you always go to the Ben, the children of Reuven. Chanoich, Falu, Chetzer, Vecharmi. They would go and get first. Okay. Now it says in the Mishnah, Av, Koidum l'chol yoytzi reichoi. What does that mean? That means that if Reuven had no children, and he had a whole bunch of brothers, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvulun, etc. And Reuven had his father Yaakov. So the Mishnah tells us, Av koidum l'chol yoytzi reichoi, father would go and get ahead of all of Reuven's brothers, because all of those brothers are his sons. However, Yaakov would not go ahead before Chanoich and Chetzrein and Falu, the children of Reuven, even though they are also Yoytzei Reichai. So the Yoytzei Reichai of our Mishnah is referring to the brothers' children, or the brothers themselves. But we're not referring to the Nifter's children. Nifter's children always get first, because Ben goes first, and then goes Bas, and then you go up to the Af. Yeah, in a sense. Zokti Mar, Tana Rabban, we learned in the Braisa. Ben, Ainli Ela Ben, Ben HaBen, Oy Bas HaBen, Oy Ben Bas HaBen, Minayin. We just said in our Mishnah that when you're talking about a Ben, Mitabas, then not only the Ben goes first, but also Kol Yoytzei Reichoi go first. So therefore, if there is no Ben, then who do you give it to? Ainli Ela Ben, Ben HaBen. What happens if there happens to be a grandson? Oy Bas HaBen, or if there happens to be a granddaughter. Oy Ben Bas HaBen. Or there's a great-grandson. Minayin, how do I know that he, or she for that matter, that they go before the Bas? Person leaves over two children. One was a boy and one was a girl. We know from the Torah that the boy gets the Yerusha. What happens if that boy died, Rachman al-Itzlan, and he left over a daughter or a grandchild? That daughter or grandchild gets the Yerusha and not the original daughter. How do I know Minayin? How do I know Tamil? Loimar, Ein Loi. What's Pshat in the Pasuk? It says in the Pasuk, Ish Kiyomus Uven Ein Loi. Ayin Olav means if he's not around, then keep on looking for his descendants to see if they are around. How does the Gemara Darshan Ein Loi to mean Ayin Olav? Because the Torah could have said, Ein loy without a yud, just aleph nun. Where did the Torah ever write something so strange? Aleph nun with a tzeira under the aleph. Ein without a yud. We never found a word like that, right?
No, I'm not allowed to say that. That doesn't sound right to me.
So Rashbam quotes one of two psukim. One is in Parshas Balak, where it says me'ein bilam haloich imanu. How do you spell the word me'ein? Mem aleph nun. Of course, we define that to mean refuses. Bilam refuses to go with us. Sorry? You're talking about another pasuk. Yimoyin, yimoyin. But here we're talking about a pasuk. Me'ein bilam haloich imanu. There's a similar pasuk in the parish of Yibam. Me'ein yivami lahakim la'achim shem b'Yisrael le'ovayami. Each case it says the word me'ein mem aleph nun. Does it say mem aleph yud nun? No. So you see that you can have the ein sound without having the yud. Moreover, according to Rishbam, it appears that the word me'ein, in fact, is from the shoresh of ein. Because a person who is refusing, he is saying no. And ein means no. So, uven ein loy, he has no son. It could have said ein aleph nun without the yud. The extra yud says, ayin olav, look for his children and his descendants. And now the Gemara continues on that the same thing applies to bas. What does it say in the pasuk? The im ein loy bas. They're all to the same word bas if he doesn't im ein loy bas. And again, that ein is spelled aleph yud nun. So it says Igmar bas. Bas is second in line in the Yerusha order. Bas ein liyel bas. Bas abas. U ben abas. U bas ben abas. Minayin. How do I know that not only the daughter but also all of her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that they get before the brothers of the Nifter, and before the father of the Nifter? How do I know? Tam aloymer, again, ein loy. The Pasuk says, v'im ein loy bas, ayin olov, in this case would be ayin aleho, go and check to see whether she has any further descendant in generation. Okay, so what do I learn from this? That when you go and figure out the nachlis, it's not only that you go downwards. In other words, if there's no ben or no bas, you look for the ben's children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but it also works upwards. Meaning, that once you've determined that in fact there is no ben and no children of the ben. And once you've decided that there is no bas and no children of the bas, then you go to the father. If the father's not around, then you go to the brothers of the nifter. If there are no brothers, you look whether those brothers have any children or not, or grandchildren. If there are no brothers and no grandchildren, no great-grandchildren, then you have to go up to the earlier generation. You look to the nifter's uncles. What happens if there are no uncles? Well, look if the uncles have any children. And what happens if they have no children? They have grandchildren. That's also good. But what happens if there are no uncles and no children and no grandchildren? Then you have to go to the next generation, to the grandfather. And then after that, to the great-grandfather. Each time, you have to go up higher and higher up until you reach Reuven. Reuven meaning the first generation in the times of the Shiftei Kah. Once you hit Reuven, then you've hit, then you know, there's got to be somebody from Shevet or Uvein around that can go and Yashin. Once you're going back to Reuven. You're doing beautifully. Everything Gemara, I'll tell you why I'm going to buy it. Immediately call the shifter. We have a Kabbalah that there's no such thing as that a Shevet will ever chas v'shalom become butter. Where do we have that Kabbalah? So Rishbam says it's a pasuk in Malachi. You, the children of Yaakov, you will never, ever, ever, ever be destroyed. They will always remain from the Shvatim of all the Shiftei Kah. We don't know where the other Asara Shvatim are today. They're presumably somewhere in back of the Sambatyon or wherever, and they are alive. Someone from Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. is alive and kicking somewhere, even if we cannot identify them. That's why we say Lech Zad Reuven instead of going all the way back to Yaakov. If you want to take a quick look at the Rishbam, it's a long Rishbam, and unfortunately there are mistakes in the Rishbam. I say mistakes because the Rishash says that it's full of mistakes, but at least we'll try to get a sense of what we're talking about. If you look at the Rishbam on the fourth line, Nachlu b'mashmesh es b'Lech Zad Reuven, Zokt Rishbam, Shim Ein Loi Av, person has unfortunately no father. V'loi ach, no brother. V'loi ben ach. And in other words, we've already explored this person who passed away, no children. He was never married, he had no sons, he had no daughters, no grandchildren, zero. So what happens after ben ubas? And you go up to the father. There is no father. Okay, so if there's no father, then you go to the father's children, meaning the brothers and or sisters of the nifter. But we found that the Ein Liyavi has no father. V'liach, unfortunately, has no son. No, I'm sorry, no brother. V'loi ben ach, and any brothers that he might have had previously had no children. Now that we've exhausted the brothers, now let's go on to the female. V'loi achois, he has no sisters. V'loi ben ach, ben achois, and there are no children of his sister. V'loi b'nei b'nei and ad oilam, and no einik lach biz till the end. V'loi ah. So now that we have explored and gone through all of the father and all of his children and the achim, so now we go to v'loi avi ho'av. Now we go to the next generation, meaning to the grandfather. V'loi achi ho'av, and not to the uncles. In other words, we've already explored and found talking toiridik. Reuven passed away. Reuven left no children. So therefore the next one we went to was Reuven's father too, Yaakov. Yaakov passed away. Yaakov left a whole bunch of sons. Yeah. All those sons passed away. They left no children. So who do you go to now? Now you have to go to Yaakov's father, to Yitzchak, and you find out whether Yitzchak is alive. No, Yitzchak is not alive. But Yitzchak had kids. So who does he have besides Yaakov? Yitzchak had also, what's Yaakov's brother's name? Esav. So then you go to Esav, and you see whether Esav has any kids. Esav had no kids. Baruch Hashem. Esav had no children. Halavai. Okay. Now, since Esav had no kids, now we go back to Yitzchak again. Let's see if we go back now to Yitzchak's father. Yitzchak's father, of course, was Avraham. And now, if Avraham is around, is great. But if Avraham is not around, we look to Avraham's kindlech. Who are Avraham's children? Avraham's children naturally are Yishmuel.
The Bnei Keturah.
Okay. And the Bnei Keturah. Assuming that they're Jewish. But fine, let's assume we talk about Yishmael and Bnei Keturah. If they are around, so then they go in Yashu. What happens if they are not around? Then, and we look if they have children. And if they have children, then they get. But if they have no children, then we go back to Terach. and so on and so forth. You go back all the way to the beginning of time to go and find. That's why the Rishbam continues on. V'loy avio av, you went to the grandfather. If there are no grandfather, v'loy acheho av, and there is no uncle, v'loy b'nei acheho av, and there were no cousins, children of the uncle, v'loy achos av, and there are no aunts. You always look at the female equivalent. First you start off with the male. There are no males, you go to the females. In other words, in our case of Reuven, first you look at the brothers. No brothers, go to Dina. No Dina either. None of them had any children. Then you go up the next generation to Yaakov. And we find that Yaakov had one brother, Esav. If Esav has children, fine, good. If he has no children, forget about it. What happens if Yaakov also had a sister? Okay, there's no Esav, so now we go to the sister. There's no sister. But what about her children and her grandchildren? If they have children and grandchildren, then they get. If not, then we go up the next generation. The children of the aunt. Then, we go down both looking for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and we also go lamala. The mother never has anything to do with this story. You always go to the avi aviv. The imain avi aviv, if there is no great-grandfather. V'loyhu. V'loy bonav, not he, and not his children. V'loy b'nei bonav, and he didn't leave any grandchildren. Boykin acher, this is a mistake, says the Rishash. Boykin acher, avi, aviv. In other words, you've gone to the great-grandfather, and you didn't find anybody, then you go to the great-great-grandfather. And then you say, oy, who? Maybe he's around? Unlikely. Oy, oy, maybe his children. His children would be the doid avi aviv. That would be the uncle of the grandfather. Oy, b'nei doid avi aviv. And look at whether he had any children. You always have, if there's a father around and their children, the father always gets before the children, with the exception of the children of the Nifter himself, etc. And you see Rishbam now goes into Avram and to Yishmael, and later on he goes into Reuven and Palu and Eliyav. Very nice Rishbam, but unfortunately I'd like to go through the whole thing, but unfortunately there are a number of mistakes in Rishbam which gets you off track. Anyway, Ayin B'Rishash, that he almost rewrites the whole Rishbam. But getting back to our Gemara, so you always go both Lamala and Lamata, you go down, you go up, to go to try to figure out whether you can find anybody, all the way up to Reuven. And now the Gemara addresses a very hot topic. Omer Avuna Omer Rav, Kolo Oimet Hirash Bas im Bas Haben, Afilin Nosi Shebi Yisrael, Ein Shoymin Loi. The Gemara says something very, very strong with great emphasis. You have a situation where you have a bas and you have a bas haben. You have Reuven had two children. He had a daughter and he had a son. So, what does it say in the Torah that Reuven passes away? Ish ki yomus, number one goes the son. What happens with Ven Ein Loi? He has no son. You give it to the daughter. That's so far easy. How, what happens in case where there was a son and a daughter? The son died, but he left over a lovely young lady, a lovely daughter. And now, when the original father passed away, guess what happens? There are only two Yorshim over here. One is his daughter, and one is a granddaughter through his son. So you have the older daughter. She's now 35 years old, a Groysa Mechaneches, very, very smart. She happens to be the principal of a Beis Yaakov somewhere. He has tremendous respect from all. And then she has, and the Nifter also left over a granddaughter. She has a niece. The Nifter has a granddaughter. That granddaughter is now in elementary school and is learning Aleph Beis. So now, the grandfather of that little girl, the father of the older woman, has passed away. Who do you think gets Nachla? So, many people would say, it's the daughter! The daughter! There's no son, there's a daughter! So, the Torah Zukti Gemara Sinishtazai. It goes to that girl that's in elementary school, because she's the daughter of the son. This granddaughter, the niece, is going to get the Yerusha to the exclusion of her own aunt. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. Whoever says no, and they say Tiresh Bas Im Basaben, at least let them share it together. That's the aunt, the Chanis, and the aunt is the daughter of the Nifter. Come on, the daughter of the Nifter. And this is only an Einikol. Tirash means Lash Yerusha. Whoever says Tirash Bas im Bas HaBen, that the daughter should yarshin together with her niece, together with the granddaughter. Afilu Nasi should be Israel, even if the one that's paskening happens to be the president. I don't know, that's not such a good riot. Nowadays. Alternative facts, right?
You have a religious guy who goes in the marriage
test. Exactly. Afilu Nasi should be Israel. Ain shayman la, you don't listen. She'einon ele mas etzidoikim. Because the tzidoikim were the ones who did not believe in major parts of the Torah, and they tried to upend and revise and make alternative Torahs. So therefore, you scream at the guy and say, you're a tzaddiki. The sign you like, we have in the Brayso, Rabo, the Esrim, Betei, this is the 24th day of Tevis. Tavna ledinina, the word tavna comes like the word shavnu. Shavnu has kind of a double connotation. Shavnu, that we sat down, and also that we returned, from Lashon Tshuva, ledinina to din. Meaning, we were able to, Baruch Hashem, restore our legacy to the way it's supposed to be. Shoy tzedoikim oimrim, the tzedoikim said, Tiresh habas imbas haben. They said something which sounds logical, that the daughter should get the Yerusha at least together. In other words, they're already making concession. Because I, with the tzedoikim, I would go and say, the daughter should get first. After all, that's first generation. That's the daughter. There's no son. Torah says, and then ain't loy, but vatsan lachlavita, give it to the daughter. And they were willing to make a concession that the daughter would get together with her niece, with the granddaughter. That's what they said. Where do you get this from? They were all speechless. Nobody was able to go and respond. Chutz mizokin echad, except for one, alta tzedoki, shei mefat pit kenegdoi, that he started saying pitputim. Pitputim is like to just say nonsense, to chatter, to not say real speech, but to mumble a few words.
The question is that the Torah tried to preserve the Yerusha that the Shvatim should have, and it shouldn't go outside of their own.
Yeah.
So why should a woman ever be able to inherit? Yeah. She marries somebody, a shaver, some other shaver, then she takes along part of the Yerusha from her Shvatim.
You are now getting into the real problem of the Bnei Slavchad. I want to say the word problem, the issue of the Bnei Slavchad. That the Bnei Slavchad, as you say, should not get an inheritance because they're girls and they're not the boys.
And they're going to marry some of the Shvatim from...
Exactly. And that's why the Torah says, number one, then Einloi, if there are no sons, then you do give it to the Bnei Slavchad. But then the family of Slavchad said, oh, you bye bye, they're going to go and marry outside of the Shevet. We're going to lose all of that Nachla. And therefore, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're right. They should go and letoiv beineim tia lenoshim. They should go and marry anybody that they want to. Ach, lamati avoyseim, lamati avoyseim tia lenoshim. But they have to go marry someone from their own shevet. So the nachla should not leave their shevet and go to another shevet. For the precise reason that you're giving now, Rabbi Kahn. Anyway, so now, what did that zokin echad from the tzedoikim say? V'oimer, and he said, something which is very logical on the surface. Uma bas benoi, haboa mikoyach benoi, tirashenu, madach, the granddaughter, who is not the direct descendant of the, it's not the direct offspring of the nifter, it's only a grandchild, it's boa mikoyach benoi, it's already the next generation.
I don't mean to say not direct descendant, direct offspring.
We just mean that it's second generation and not first generation. No, I'm not explaining it well. She's not a direct child. She's only a grandchild. She's only boa mikoyach benoi. Tirushenu, you're saying she should get because she's a grandchild. Bita boa mikoychoi, the daughter that was Mamish's own flesh and blood, so to speak. It's his own daughter. Immediate offspring. Immediate child. like Kolshkein, certainly wouldn't you go and say that the child should get before the grandchild? Come on. Makes sense. Of course the child should get before the grandchild. How could you say otherwise? That's what the Zokin Echad said. Korol of a Mikra. Therefore, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him was, don't forget a pusik towards the beginning of Breishis. Push state in Breishis. Eile b'nei seira, choyri yoishvi oretz. Not the beginning of Breishis, later in Breishis. But anyway, Eile b'nei seira, choyri yoishvi oretz. Loitan v'shoivol v'tzivoin v'ano. Uksiv, there's another pusik. Eile b'nei tzivoin v'ayo v'ano. You have that the word ano is repeated twice over here. In the first pusik, it says ano was a son of B'nai Seir, and he was a brother of Tzivoin. So Tzivoin and Ano are brothers. The next pasuk tells you that Tzivoin had two children. V'aya v'ano. Ano was a son of Tzivoin. So, Chori Avestira, is Ano a brother of Tzivoin? Or is Ano a son of Tzivoin? Make up your mind. El Malamid and Rashi and the Gemara brings the Rashi and Chemish. Rashi already says it's a Chemish. A Malamid shebat Tzivoin al Imoy. Tzivoin was not such a nice guy, and he went and lived with his own mother, what we call an incestuous relationship. And guess what happened? Ano, and Ano was born. So really and truly, Ano was a son of Tzivoin. On the other hand, Ano was also a brother of Tzivoin. How was Ano a brother of Tzivoin? Because they had the same mommy. Tzivoin's mommy was also Ano's mommy. So Tzivoin and Ano were both father and son, and they were also brothers. Oh, brother.
But as a brother, as a maternal brother, there's no Yerusha quality. He's and Mishpach say lo kor Mishpacha, right?
That's correct.
Relationships still get the same rights?
Yeah, we're going to see mention the Gemara later on where the Ayin Olav includes illegitimate children, whether it includes Mamzerim. But today we're only talking about legitimate, and in terms of Hilchus Yerusha by Yisrael. We're going to soon see why the Gemara is bringing this Masmet Anah. Maybe there were two Anahs. What means that there were two Anos? How do you know that Tzivoin was Bo'al Imoy? Two people have the same name. His name was Ano, and his name was Ano. In other words, Tzivoin had a brother by the name of Ano, and Tzivoin had a son by the name of Ano. And nowadays, it's not that uncommon when people call children and grandchildren, etc., after a father, a Zayd, an elder Zayd. You could have one child having the name Reuven, and you can have an Einikum by the name of Reuven. It's a Nishka Zagre Sakasha. Vilmutrei Anohava. Amarava Amina Miltidli Amra Shover Malka Umanu Shmuel. Said Rabbi, I'm going to go and say something that wasn't even said yet by Shover Malka. Shover Malka was, of course, a Persian king. But in our connection, it's not referring to the king, it's referring to Shmuel. We had this Gemara at the very end of Masechta Bav Metzia, where the Rashi points out that in a number of times in Shas, we refer to Shmuel as Shover Malka, that just like Shover Malka was the ultimate power in his day and age, in terms of halacha, Shmuel was the Gadol Hadar, he had the ultimate power. Ikriyami, another version, Amar Rapapa, Amina Milta Dli Amar Shover Malka. Rapapa said this, I'm going to say something that was never said even by Shover Malka, Manu, that was a reference to Rabba, not a reference to Shmuel, but to Rabba. Anyway, what did he say? Amar Krat says in the Pasuk, Hu Ano. We didn't say Hu Ano. The Pasuk continues on. Hu Ano, Asher Motza Yemim Bamidbar. After we went and enumerated the names, we said in the Pasuk, The Eile B'nei Tzivoin V'ayo V'ano. Hu Ano, Asher Motza Yemim Bamidbar. Peroisi Es Achamoyrim L'Tzivoin Ovid. Now the question is, why did the Pasuk say Hu Ano? We're talking about Ano. What's there? Hu Ano. Oh, who I know come to tell you, who I know the Mikar, that's the same Ano that we're talking about before. The two Anos are one and the same. So, Shkoyach, what do I learn from all of this? What's the point of all of this? The point of all of this is to say that in the first pasuk is Eile b'nei Seir ha-choyri yoishvi oretz, loitan b'shoival v'tzivoin v'ano. Who is yarshining from the b'nei Seir? Who's yarshining Seir? It's loitan and shoival and tzivoin and ano. Now, who is Ano vis-a-vis Seir? Ano is really the grandson of Seir. It's not the son of Seir. Because, in fact, Seir didn't give birth to Ano. It was Tzivoin and Mrs. Seir that gave birth to Ano. Nevertheless, he says that he's the Yoishvei Aretz. So Rishbam is medayik from Yoshvi Aretz, that means he ultimately received a yishuv in the Aretz because he was a Yoresh. What do I see from this pasuk? That Ben HaBen also Yarshins, and Noah, the son of Tzivoin, also Yarshin. Not sure exactly precisely how this works, because after all, if Tzivoin is still around, then Tzivoin would go and get the entire Yerusha, and Ano wouldn't get Yerusha, because Tzivoin is the father, and Ano is only the grandson, right? The Tzivoin is the son of Seir, Ano for our purposes is the grandson. But for purpose of the Drosh of Chazal, what we're trying to point out is that a Ben HaBen Yarshins from a grandfather. Therefore,
we already said that before, how it always goes down, and then if you don't find, then you go up.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is trying to prove to this tzedoki is that you tzedoki said the bas should go and get together with the bas haben. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I'll bring you a raya that ben haben happens to be a conclusive yoresh from this pasuk of tzivim va'ana, and therefore since the ben haben, he gets Yerusha, so don't tell me anything about his next generation, your next generation, Nishtar. He happens to receive.
But the Sadoki was challenging from a girl. Not
and guess what? That's going to be the Gemara's kasha now.
That's part of the proof that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is using.
Yeah, but the shoita that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai called him, says to him, Omele Rabbi Bekach Ata Petreini, you're trying to go and pater me with this raya. I am not talking about the Ben HaBen. I'm talking about the Bas HaBen. Yes. If you look at the last Rishbam, last line of the Rishbam here, Bekach Ata Patreni, bit me up. Halagam ani moide lecha de Ben HaBen Yerush Zekanai. I wasn't questioning that. What I was questioning was Vafilu B'mokim Bas, that I understand. Avo Bas HaBen, hu de merim shetire shabas ima. In other words, this tzedoki was no total hamhuretz. He knew something. And he said, Ahmad, I agree with you that if all that is left of Reuven's children is Reuven has a bas, he has a daughter, and he also has a grandson from a son. You have, originally there was a son and a daughter. The son passed away, leaving over a son. I agree with you from Yadrushim, Mitzivain, and Aya, Ana, Yo, the Ben HaBen comes before the bas. I agree. And we don't need to come on to Tzivim Vano. I have it from the Pusik on the Omer Aleph. Like Uri was saying a moment ago. Since it says, Ben Ein Loi Ayin Olav. So if there's no Ben, you go to the Ben HaBen. And if there's no Ben HaBen, you go to the Ben HaBen. The great-grandson, the great-great-grandson. I agree with you. That would come before the daughter. But I'm not talking about a grandson. I'm talking about a granddaughter. That the son passed away, leaving over his own daughter. So therefore I have now the remaining heirs, potentially. You have a daughter, and you have a granddaughter. One's an aunt, and one is a niece. That's when I say you don't have any right for the Ben HaBen. Because I'm not going to Ben HaBen. I'm talking about the Bas HaBen. The Bas HaBen, L'choira, should go and get only, either secondarily, or at least together with the Bas. But not that she should have total kedima over the bas. And that's why the tzedoki got upset. Amalei Rebbe, v'kachata putrani, you bring me a raya gabe a grandson, Ben HaBen. I'm talking about a case of a granddaughter, the bas HaBen. She shouldn't go and get before the bas. At best, she should shear together with the bas. Amalei. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, shoita, v'letehei toru shleim ishalonu kisicha b'teila shalachem. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying, says Rishbam, is that I don't need to really address your issues in a serious manner, because you are tzedoikim, and therefore you guys don't deserve a respectful answer. And that's why you're right. Technically you're right. You were asking about a Bas HaBen, and I'm bringing a raya Ben HaBen, but I don't even have to worry about it. Rishbam says, "Eini tzorach l'dchoyscha bekash." I don't even have to go and push you away with straw. Because, says Rishbam, "Mi meikar le'yor chofetz le'galdis le'tam shel dovar, te'os le'galdis le'hem tamay toire." The Chachomim held the Tzedoikim in such low esteem, these guys are irreparable. There's no purpose in teaching, or irremediable. No purpose in teaching them any Torah. Whatever we teach them, they're just going to try to distort it. Yeah. They're going to try to manipulate it.
It's an emotional response, rather.
Right.
But
it's like
masculine
in
see the chance.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
Tame, you're not supposed to, because this is the Tame. This is the Torah says, and that's the way it is. It's like giving reasons why to start the mitzvah.
You hold like Rabbi Yechiel Zakkai.
No, but why does he use Tame? There's no such thing as Tame.
Rabbi Cohen believes Rabbi Yechiel Zakkai is absolutely correct. He shouldn't explain the Tame, because after all, the Torah was not given with Tame. The Torah was given Chukim and Mishpatim. We got to do it because that's what Hashem's will is.
They don't have a real. He's calling him Rabbi. He's calling him Shota. You can see this guy is a fake. He's
okay.
Showing him Rabbi Yechiel Zakkai for respect. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai sees through him.
Good. Anyway, but Lemaisa, what's the raya that he is wrong? What's the raya of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? Now we're going to tell you the real reason. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, Ma lebas benoi sheken yofa koicha b'mokim hu achin. If you have bas benoi, the granddaughter, you agree would go before any brothers. Taim bebitoi shura koicha b'mokim achim. Then Bita is different because she loses vis-a-vis the Achen. We'll see what that means in a moment. The Notzchem, as a result, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai won. And therefore that day, on the 24th day of Teves, they made into a Yontiv. As a result of making a Yontiv, what do you think they didn't do?
No
Tachnif. That's number one. Number two, you're also not allowed to go in fast on that day. And this is brought from Megillas Tanis. As you know, there was a Megillas Tanis that is no longer in use, unfortunately, but it was in use in the times of Chazal. And that Megillas Tanis identified all days of Yontif, or secondary Yontif, in other words, not Yontif with a capital Y, a Yontif with a small Y. But those were Yontif that you were not allowed to go and fast on. And some of them were such intensive Yontif, you're not allowed to even make a Hesped. And certainly, don't even think of saying Tachman. But let's understand what was the answer to Mat Labas Benoy Shekin Yofa. What is this all about? So we're going to see the Rishbam, and the Rishbam is going to tell us about the Benois Tzlofchad. And we're going to see Mitchum in the Mishnah tomorrow that Tzlofchad's daughters not only Yarshind Tzlofchad's own Chelik Ba'aret, but also Tzlofchad's Chelik in his father. Tzlofchad's father's name was two different chalakim that they got, both the chelik that Tzlofchad was entitled to, and Tzlofchad's entitlement as a yoyresh, as a son of Chayfer. And as we're all to see, Tzlofchad was a b'chor, and therefore he gets pishnayim. Well, let's not get into all the details today, but the point is, we have over here the daughters of Tzlofchad got a chelik of their father, not only Tzlofchad's Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael, but also the chelik that Tzlofchad would have received Yerusha from his father, from Chayfer. So therefore they yarshin both their father and their grandfather. Aha. What happens if Tzlofchad were to have any brothers? Would those brothers also receive a chelik in Chayfer's nachla, in Chayfer's estate? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, of course they would. And not only what if, but the Torah Taka says that Tzlofchad had brothers. And therefore, not only Tzlofchad would have received the Yerusha from his father, Chayfer, but his brothers received a chelik in the estate of Chayfer. Okay, so since unfortunately Tzlofchad passed away, therefore Tzlofchad's daughters, there was no son of Tzlofchad, only daughters, so those daughters both got Tzlofchad's own Yerusha, in other words, his own Nachla, and they also got the Yerusha that Tzlofchad would have received together with his brothers in the estate of Chayfer.
It's part of Tzlofchad's estate.
So we all agree to that.
Logic is part of his estate.
Good. So far, so good. What happened if Tzlofchad left over not only brothers, but Tzlofchad would have left over a sister, and perhaps even had a sister? Would that sister have gotten a chelik in Chayfer's nechasim?
No, because she has brothers.
She would not, because she had brothers. Uh-huh. And therefore, from this, we're going to go and bring a raya.
Sister does parallel.
What's the parallel?
The granddaughters of Chayfer are like Tzlofchad's.
The daughter of Chayfer did not get a chelik. Everybody just said that clearly. Reb Dovid said it emphatically and definitively that the daughter of Chefer got zero. Who did get? Her brothers, the Bnei Chefer, together with Tzlofchad. Oh, Tzlofchad wasn't around. So the granddaughters got. Oh, so you see that granddaughters got, and the daughter didn't get. Chefer's granddaughters, the daughters of Tzlofchad, received. That's the Bas HaBen. And the daughter of Chefer, which was the aunt of these Bnei Tzlofchad, got zero. Shemi, Gunish, Rian, nothing. That's the right from the Torah, Dr. B'Yochanan and Zakkai. That if you have a Bas, together with a Bas HaBen, only the Bas HaBen gets, and not the Bas.
Except the sharing of brothers, where's the concept of sharing Yerushin? There's no the other name. It happens to be that there's a bunch of brothers, after the Bukhar gets Pishnah, they'd be able to share.
Right.
Kids from them, where? What's the Havamina that there's a splitting of Yerushas? Where all of a sudden there's a
difference? What happens if they're only Banois, like the Banois Slavchad? They also shared. What happens if there's neither sons nor daughters? There's also no father. Yes. Person leaves over a bunch of brothers. They also share. Whenever you have multiple people in the same category, they all go and share. If there are no brothers, then you see if they're sisters. If there are five sisters, then all the sisters share. And so on and so forth. That's the whole purpose of this share. Yes, Rabbi Cohen?
No.
Oh, good. No pun intended. Let's just take a quick look at the Rishbam, and we'll see how he develops the whole Benoit Slavchad. Third line from the top. The kalvachoyim that you're trying to don on your own. I have a tshuva on your kalvachoyim. What was the kalvachoyim? Madach ma lebas benoy shiyofa koicha b'mokim achim shireshes b'mokim avir. Remember, what they were saying was, madach, the granddaughter should get, certainly the daughter should get. Zokt yetz yechman zakei. Ma lebas benoy. The granddaughter, shiyofa koicha b'mokim achim, shireshes b'mokim aviha. The granddaughter is as strong as her uncles, that she gets when there's no father, she gets together with her uncles. Kigoyin. Oh, Bnei Tzlofchad. She Yarshu, not only did they get the daughter, the Chelik of Tzlofchad, the estate, the Nachla of Tzlofchad, but they were also Yoyrish together, Benichse Chefer, Avi Avien, Im Bnei Chefer. They, the Bnei Tzlofchad, Yarshin the Chelik, the Nachla of their grandfather Chefer, together with their uncles in Bnei Chefer. How do I know? Shinamar says in the Pasuk Befeirish. Nosoin tita lehem achuzes Nachla besoich achei avian. Give the Bnei Slavchad a Chelik in the Yerusha, in the Nachla of their Zayda Chefer, together with Achayavim, together with their uncles. So the uncles, the Bnei Chefer, had to share and share alike together with their nieces, the daughters of Tzlofchad. Tzlofchad was their brother. If Tzlofchad were alive, they would share with Tzlofchad. Nebuch Tzlofchad passed away, so they share it with Tzlofchad's daughters. Just like she doesn't yarshin together with her brothers, kach eni yareshes im basachia. That's why she doesn't get together with her niece. Let's see again. Shemnoi slavchad yorshu benichse chayfer. They took a yerusha benichse chayfer. V'loylachu bnei chayfer ubenois chayfer kol nichse chayfer. The bnei chayfer didn't take the whole thing, because they had to share it with their nieces, Bnei Slavchad. Bnei Chefer didn't get anything. Nimtzis bas haben koidemis lebas. Tehine Bnei Slavchad shekodmu lebnei Chefer. I see the Bnei Slavchad got a Yerusha. The Bnei Chefer got a Yerusha. But the Bnei Chefer didn't get. So let me ask you, who's closer in relationship to Chefer? Is it his daughters, the Bnei Chefer? Or is it the granddaughters of Bnei Slavchad? Clearly, in terms of flesh and in terms of generation, the daughters of Chefer are closer to Chefer. But you agree that they got nothing in this whole Sedra. It's the Bnei Chefer that got, and the Bnei Slavchad that got. Why? Is the Charai in the Torah said Rechem and Zakkai clearly not like the Sedoiki? The Bas HaBen gets before the Bas and does not have to share with the Bas. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai.